coming. What must we do? We must be prepared when the King's coming. Amen? If you have a copy of God's Word, John 12, verse number 12. I could have went to Matthew, Mark, Luke. I could have went to either one. I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word. Could have went to any of them this morning. I could have went to any of the Gospels and they'd have gave you this account. But I want to go to the one that laid his head on the breast of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to go to his account. I want to go to what he felt, Brother J.D., knowing that the King was coming. Amen. The Bible says in John 12, verse number 12, on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, set thereupon, as it is written, Fear not, daughters of Zion, behold, the King cometh. Setting on an ass's coat. These things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from the dead, they bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. Our Father and our God, as I bow in your presence this morning, Father, I'm begging and I'm pleading for something that I cannot buy, something I cannot muster up on my own, and that is the Holy Ghost this morning. Oh, glory, I pray that the Holy Ghost of heaven would sit down in this place this morning, that He would have liberty this morning to preach this sermon. Lord God, I'm in over my head and I ask you to move. Father God, the King's coming. You're coming one day, Father. Father God, you're coming again to get your church, Father God, and rapture us out of this old wicked world. And Father, I pray this morning that we're prepared for your coming, Father. I pray this morning for the one that might be lost. I pray they be saved before it's eternally too late. I pray for the one that is saved that they wouldn't get in a place in their life where they're comfortable, but I pray they'd get where they have a concern for people that are lost and people that are without Christ. Lord, I pray this morning that when you come that you find this church, Father God, no matter how many years it is, that they'd be an old leather lung preacher stand behind this desk and he preached us, saith the Word of God. Father, I pray that when that day comes that this church will still be built upon the rock, Father. I pray that this church not be strayed. I pray that this local body not be caught up by all winds of doctrine, but we stand on the old King James Bible and we preach thus saith the Word of God. Father, I pray you be pleased. I pray you be glorified. I pray you be lifted up. And Father, I thank you that my King, King Jesus, woo, glory, is coming one day and you're going to rapture us out of this place and we'll forever be seated with you in heaven. Father, I love you and I thank you. I thank you for Calvary and I thank you for the blood. Bless the next few moments and let the Holy Ghost of heaven search the heart of your people. In Jesus' most holy, precious name, and all of God's people said. Amen. You may be seated this morning. The King is coming. What must we do? The King is coming. What must we do? And as I ask that question this morning, you can tell in my voice, I get excited by knowing that the King is coming. You know, when the King comes and somebody comes to your home, there's a lot of cleaning up that takes place. Can I get an amen? If somebody's going to come to our home, I know my wife, we're fixing to clean everything. Things that we ain't cleaned in years is fixing to be clean. We're fixing to wash the vinyl. We're fixing to mop the floors. We're fixing to clean every toilet. We're fixing to get down to business. Everything that you can be thought of will be clean when visitors are coming. Hey, this morning, can I say to you that Jesus Christ, He's going to come again one day. Hey, this may have been Palm Sunday, and as He rode in here on that coat, them people, I want you to know, they realized the King was coming. Up to this point, He had told His disciples, and He had told people to hush and don't let them know, but hey, hey, I want you to know, they've come to this place and He's given them authority and He's given them the liberty to say that the King is coming. Hey, this morning, can I say to you that as you look in your Bible in verse number 13, when you realize that the King is coming, number one, we must rejoice that the King is coming, Brother JD. We must rejoice that the King is coming. I'd say to you, it's not no burden that the King is coming one day. It is not no burden that Jesus Christ will come back and get His church one day. It is not no burden. Hey, when He came here, it was a time of rejoicing. And look with me, if you will, in verse number 13, I see that they rejoiced that the King was coming. If you're sitting in here this morning and you say, preacher, I'm scared of the end of time. I'm scared that when I'm going to die, hey, what's going to take place? Hey, preacher, I'm terrified this morning. I'd say to you this morning, hey, get you a good dose of Jesus and you won't be terrified. Can I get an amen? Hey, you get you a King that you know, hey, when He comes back, He's not going to burden you, but He's going to bless you. I want you to know. He said this morning, they took branches of palm trees and they went forth to meet Him. I see when the King's come, hey, they came to where Jesus was. Hey, they came ready to meet Him. Hey, when He came into the city. Hey, but I see also that when the King's coming, they rejoiced, they cried to Jesus. And you know what they did when they cried out? They cried out, Hosanna. Hey, they were screaming in the streets, Hosanna, the King is coming. And that means give salvation now. You know what they did? They wanted to be delivered. They wanted to be saved. Hey, they wanted to be brought back. They wanted to be brought out of what they was in. There's not a person in this room. You say, preacher, that sounds awful selfish, that they would scream, Hosanna. Hey, I want to be saved now. Hey, I want to be delivered now. Let salvation come now. Hey, but when you realize the shape that you're in and you realize without the King, you're hell bound, I want you to know, hey, you'll get screaming, Hosanna. Hey, I need salvation now. Hey, I need delivered now. Hey, I don't know about you, but they got to the place where they was rejoicing that the King was coming. They came to Jesus. They cried to Jesus. Hey, but they called out to Jesus. Look with me in the text, if you will. The Bible says they took branches of palm trees and they went forth to meet Him and they cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King. And here's what they called Him. They said, blessed is the King of Israel. He said, this is our King that is coming. I want you to know the Pharisees didn't want Him to be King. Hey, the Sadducees didn't want Him to be King. Hey, but I got good news. Hey, for the one that's been born again, you thank God this morning and you're rejoicing in your heart that He is your King. Amen. Oh, He says this morning, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hey, they knew He was coming in the name of the Lord and they was rejoicing that He was coming on the scene. You say, preacher, is it going to be a rejoicing time when Jesus comes? Hey, for the one that's saved, when He busts them eastern skies, it's going to be a time of rejoicing. Can I get an amen? Hey, but for the one that's lost, doomed and going to hell because the blood has not been applied, I say to that person this morning, it won't be a rejoicing time. It'll be a time of sadness. It'll be a time that you won't want to live in. But I thank God this morning that I stand here this morning and tell you on the authority of God's Word, hey, the King's coming and you can get to that place where you can rejoice His coming. Can I get an amen? Oh, but He says, I see in verse 17 and verse 16, number one, it must rejoice the King's coming, but we must remember the King's coming. It's one thing to rejoice it, but it's something else to remember that the King is coming. I rejoice that I'm saved, but I want you to know I remember that He is coming for me one day. Look what He says here, if you will, with me in verse number 16. These things, look in verse 16. These things understood not His disciples at the first. At the get-go, they didn't understand what He was talking about. But when Jesus was glorified, look what the Bible says, they remembered. But they remembered those things were written of Him. You said, preacher, how do you know that the King's coming? How do you know that He's coming one day? I know it this morning because the Scripture reveals it to me. The Scripture tells me that He's going to come and the Scripture must be fulfilled. This morning I want you to know, if you read it in this book, you can stand on it. If you read it in this book from cover to cover, you can stand on it. Look with me, if you will, to Zechariah 9:9. I'm telling you that the King is coming, and we must remember that. Hey, don't you be living just any old way you want to when the King comes. Don't you be found somewhere you're not supposed to be when the King comes. Don't you be found dabbling in something you don't need to be dabbling in when the King comes. He said, preacher, what must I do? Number one, you must rejoice that He's coming. Man, there was a crowd here rejoicing, but they remembered that the King was coming. Look with me, if you will, to Zechariah 9:9 and what the Bible says. Scripture revealed His coming. Look what the Bible says in Zechariah 9:9. It says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Rejoice, man, there it is. We rejoice that the King is coming. The Bible tells us that. And we as a church, we live sometimes like He's not coming. But I'm telling you, He's coming. And you and I both must remember that. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy King cometh unto thee. Man, He's coming one day. Oh my goodness. He is just. You say, well, He's a fair God. He's going to do it. No, He's not going to do nothing fair. Listen to me this morning as your pastor. When the King's coming, He won't be fair in what He does. When He comes back and He busses them eastern skies, you say, well, I've been a good person. I've went to church. I've been through the baptismal waters. Hey, He's a fair God. There's not one thing fair about Him. If He was fair, we'd all go to hell. Hey, but this morning the Bible says He's not fair, but He is just. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Bible says in verse number 9, the King cometh unto thee, He is just, and He's the one that has salvation. Woo, He's coming. And He's going to do justly with what He needs to do when He comes. He said He is just and having salvation. He's going to come lowly, and He's going to come riding. Scripture revealed it. He's going to come riding upon an ass. And upon a colt, the foal of an ass. I see this morning we must rejoice in the King's coming. I see we must remember the King's coming because the Scripture reveals it, but also the Savior revealed His coming. Turn with me, if you will, to Luke 19:10. I want to show you this in the old King James Bible. Luke 19:10 this morning. I ask you to turn there this morning. Make sure this is in your Bible. Hello? Make sure this is in your Bible. Luke 19:10. Make sure this is in your Bible. Don't take my word for it. Make sure it's in the Bible that you're reading this morning. Luke 19:10, what the Bible says. You said the Scripture tells me He's coming. Yes, to remember He's coming. But the Savior reveals His coming. Look what He says in Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. When He come, you know what? They remembered why He... They said, oh Lord, I remember now. We're rejoicing, but I remember why He's coming. He's fixing to be beaten. He's fixing to be spit upon. He's fixing to be beaten with a cat of nine tails. He's fixing to get what I deserve. He's fixing to get my punishment put on. Oh, I remember now. I remember what's fixing to take place. I remember that He's coming to die for my sins on an old rugged cross. I remember now they're fixing to take Him to Golgotha. I remember now He's going to be in between them thieves. I remember now that He's going to die. I remember now. Folks, this morning the Scripture revealed His coming, the Savior revealed His coming, but the Spirit revealed His coming. This morning the Spirit of God will reveal to you some things in your life like you've never seen before. Turn with me, if you will, to John 4:23. The Spirit of God reveals His coming. If you look around in the world we live in, I'm not no prophet, I'm not no priest, and I'm not no king. I'm just an old country preacher. But let me tell you something about old country preacher that I know. We don't like as long as we used to. Huh? It don't like as long as it used to. Can I say to you this morning, He's either going to come or you're going to go. We all running out of time. Ain't a person, we all, you might rejoice, you say, but remember, we all running out of time. For the young kid in here, you ain't got as long as you think you got. For the young man in here that thinks he's got his whole life, you ain't got as long as you think you got. For the old man that thinks he's got, you ain't got as long as you think you got. He's either going to come or we're going to go. This thing ain't going to last forever. Let me give you this. The Spirit revealed His coming. Whoa, glory. Y'all having a good time. Man, I get thinking about that King coming. Boy, I get thinking about Him coming to my heart that day and save my soul. I get thinking about that same King that hung on Calvary that's going to come back, Brother Kyle, one day. I ain't never been a king. But I'm going to be seated with the King, amen? Glory. Look at John 4:23. He told the woman when he had a need to go through Samaria. Look at this. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers. I ask you this morning, are you a true worshiper? Or are you just a Sunday morning worshiper? Are you a true worshiper? Don't just worship on Sunday. One just worship on Sunday is a Pharisee, you see. And one day they'll be like the Sadducees. They'll be sad, you see. Because they won't end up in any resurrection. See, that's why the Sadducees were sad, you see, because they didn't believe in the resurrection. Folks, this morning I want you to know the King's coming. He rose from that grave and He's going to raise me up one day. That tomb won't hold me, Brother Brad. Hey, 6 feet in the ground, it's not going to hold me. When He calls this body, I'm coming forth and I'm going to meet Him in the air and I'm going to get my glorified body. Woo! But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father. How are you going to worship Him? You're going to have to worship Him in spirit. I don't get into all that spirit stuff. Well, you're going to have to. If you're going to worship Him, you're going to have to get into it. I worship Him in the spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit. When He saved you, He bought back your spirit. Your spirit and His spirit had nothing to do with one another. And when that Holy Ghost convicted you and saved, and you gave your life to Jesus, and that Holy Ghost convicted you and He come into your life and He made abode with you, and the blood of Jesus has been applied to your life at that moment, your spirit and God's spirit is back together. What was destroyed in the garden is put back together. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Man, I see this morning we must rejoice, we must remember that the King has all control. Let's look back in the text in verse number 14. And Jesus, when He had found a young ass set thereon, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, the King cometh, set it on an ass's coat." Can I say to you that we must remember that the King's coming? He was born of a virgin. He rode a virgin coat. And He borrowed a virgin tomb. I'm just saying. Let me give you the third thing this morning. We must rejoice the King's coming. We must remember the King's coming. Palm Sunday. As Jesus came through, you know what gate He came through when He came through that day in Jerusalem? He came through the sheep gate. He came through the sheep gate that day, and when He came through that sheep gate. And they said at that time, getting ready for the Passover, they said they could have been up to over 2 million lambs, 2 million sacrifices that would have been there when He came through. And they said they had put them sacrifices up for 4 days. They would look at them and they would make sure that they had no blemishes, no spots, nothing wrong with them when they came through. And they would look at every one of them to make sure. Can I say to you that Jesus was on trial here? You look at this, starting in on Sunday, all the way to Thursday, 4 days, the Lamb of God, the perfect sacrifice, one without blemish, one without spot, nothing wrong with Him, stood there for your account and my account. That's something to me rejoice about. That's something for me to remember, but it's something that I must give record to in my life. I must not hide out on it. I must give record that the King has come to my life. He said, "Preacher, what are you talking about this morning?" Right here, He's fixing to come into Jerusalem, and before He has met a man named Lazarus, a friend of His, a friend that had died. John 11, Lazarus is dead, and you know what He does? He goes to the tomb, and He calls Lazarus out of that tomb. He takes him from the tomb to the table. Don't you ever tell me, listen this morning, listen, I believe this, He has never brought anybody out of the grave that He didn't want to dine with. He said, "Well, He saved me, now I'm going to live my way and I'm going to go to heaven and do what I want to do." He's never saved nobody for them to do it their way. When He saves you and brings you out of that tomb, He wants to sit and dine with you every day of your life. He brought him up out of the tomb, and in chapter 12, He's sitting at the table dining with him. He's dining with him. And everybody is upset because the King has come and rose Lazarus from the grave. Can I say to you this morning, when you get rose out of your tomb, not everybody's going to be happy. Some people like seeing you in your condition that you're in. Some people like seeing you in your tomb. They like seeing you depressed, doom and gloom, wore out. They like seeing you unhappy. But can I say to you this morning, Jesus don't. And the only way that you're going to get to a place in your life that, as a Christian, you got to say this. You got to get to the place, "I'm going to rejoice no matter what's going on. I'm going to rejoice because I know who my King is. I'm going to remember, no matter what goes on, I'm going to remember my King is coming one day for me. He's done paid the price and He's coming. And no matter where I go or what I do, I'm going to bear record that that King has come to my life. He's set up authority over my life. I'm not under His command. I'm under His authority. See, command, you can be given a command and not do it, but when you're under the authority, man, I'm under submission. And when he got to this place, I want you to look with me in the text what it said. And everyone that was there when he seen Lazarus raised from the grave, you know what they did? They bear record of the King. If you've been rose from the dead, and I look around here this morning, there's a lot of you rose from the dead. There's a lot of you been rose from the dead. Out of that grave. And it's time to tell record of what God's done in your life. Look at this with me in the text. Not only they rejoiced and remembered, but they gave record. Man, they gave record of what God has done. Look in verse 17. The people, therefore, that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead, they bear record. What did they bear record of? The miracles that Jesus had done. One of the most popular times in Christianity is this week. Is this week. You're going to buy new shirts? You're going to buy $250 worth of new dresses? You're going to buy all new? Next Sunday, you're going to look better than you've ever looked. I'm talking about you're going to be on top shelf next Sunday. I mean, you're going to be new. I mean, new haircuts. All cleaned up. All looking good. Ready to go. Because it's Resurrection Sunday. Because it's the day that our Lord and Savior come out of the tomb. But can I say to you this morning, you can paint this outside up. You can paint this body up. You can fix this body up. You can clean this body up. You can look good in the sight of men, but I want you to know this morning, if your heart's not had the blood of Jesus Christ applied to you, when the King come, you're going to be in trouble. This morning, my last point I want to give to you, it is one thing to rejoice that the King's coming. It is something totally different to remember that the King is something. It's something to record that the King is coming, but you must be ready when the King comes. When he comes and he comes knocking on your heart's door, you must be ready. Look what he says here with me, if you will, in verse number 19. I'm talking about we must be ready for the King's coming. We've got to get ready for the King to come. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, "Perceive ye how you prevail nothing." Heard, look, behold, the world is gone after him. The world's going after him. We must be ready for the King's coming. He said, "Preacher, how am I going to be ready for the King when he comes?" I'm going to give you two things in closing. Matthew 24, 42, you're going to have to watch for the King. You're going to have to watch for him. You're going to have to watch for him. The King's coming. Matthew 24, 42. Look with me. 24, whoa, glory. Man. You're going to have to watch. I'm saved. I'm good. You better watch. Listen to me as your pastor. You better watch. That time's coming. You better get your eyes open and you better watch. You better open your eyes, your physical eyes and your spiritual life, and you better be watching for that King that is coming one day. Don't you be found somewhere you ain't supposed to be. Don't you be doing things you ain't supposed to be doing. The King is coming. You're not going to listen. If you stand before the great white throne, that's the throne that you stand before you're sentenced to hell, you will not be able to stand and say, "Brother BJ did not tell me that the King was not going to come." You won't be able to hold that to my charge. If you stand before the great white throne and he sends you to a devil's hell, you can't stand and say, "Well, I didn't know you was coming." Your pastor this morning is telling you to remember it, to rejoice that he's coming. Remember it. Bear record of it in your life. But be ready when the King comes. Be ready. But what he says, verse 42, watch therefore, watch. Preacher, I'm just going to watch. Watch. Every morning we get up, we roll our blinds open at the house. Open them up so Ryder can look out. Because he wants to watch if anybody comes up. And if anybody comes to our house, he's amazed. He thinks everybody comes to see him. I know he's 13 months, but everybody's come to see Ryder. You know what I'm saying? This morning we pulled up, he's waving it on everybody in the parking lot. Everybody waves back, Sister Dawana. She waved. Can I say Jesus is coming one day? And when he comes, I want to see him. I'm looking. You say, when you die, what you going to do in the grave, you idiot? I'm still watching for him because I'm not dead. I'm alive, amen? I'm still waiting on him. I'm still watching for him. Man, I love that he's coming to get me. This ain't my home. I don't have to go to hell because Jesus paid the price. We have a home. Not everybody lays in a casket goes to heaven. Preachers has led you wrong. Not everybody that dies go to heaven. Only those that are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. We get caught up into everybody's going. Look what he says in verse 40. Watch therefore. You say, well, this is Matthew talking. This is written in red in my Bible. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Be ready. You don't know the hour he's going to come. But know this in verse 43, that if the good man of the house had known it, what watch the thief would have come. If they'd known the hour the thief would have come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. I noticed if you're going to be ready, you're going to have to watch, Brother JD. But you're going to have to be ready. You're going to have to be ready. On what Momo and Papa have done 30 years ago won't do you a bit of good. Momo and Papa being ready won't get you ready. Your husband being ready won't get you ready. Marrying a preacher won't get you ready. Marrying her won't get you ready in a couple weeks. It's the blood. He said, watch and be ready. For if you'd known when the thief was coming to your house, Brother Chad, you'd have stopped him at the front door. There ain't a man in this room would let a thief come in and rob his family. He'd stand at the door. He'd stand against whoever trying to come in and say, no, 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 no. We have security here so nobody can come in and mess with us while we're having service. We do. We got men standing out there right now that's not hearing the message because they want to serve you and keep you safe. But I'm not talking about physical readiness. I'm talking about spiritual readiness. Watch therefore, for you know not the hour. You don't know the hour. He didn't say the week, month, or year. He said the hour. And in Matthew, if it was the hour, I'm going to tell you what, we in the hour. Brother Eric, if it was the hour then, we in the hour now. Watch therefore, and look in verse 44, therefore be you also ready. For in such an hour as you think that the Son of Man cometh, that hour that you think that he can't come, he's going to come. He's going to come, or you're going to go. But all I know is that the King is coming. I rejoice in that. I remember that he's coming. I don't want to lose sight of that. I bear record in my life that he's coming. This morning, got up to come to church. You may not never have a morning like this. I thought, what is the use of even going? Y'all ain't never thought that. I said, what's the use of even going? Y'all get what I'm saying? The kid's ready. He's done climbed back in the wet shower. Nothing that my wife's putting on looks good, as she says. I think she is beautiful in everything that she put on. Does this look good? Yes, it looks amazing. We get halfway to church, my daughter's forgot something, we got to turn around and go back. And the whole time I'm thinking in my mind, I'm thinking in my heart, I'm thinking in my soul, I got to get there, but I'm unprepared. And the whole time the Holy Ghost of heaven's telling me that's exactly what you're fixing to preach on. Be ready. When you think it ain't worth coming, when you think, man, it ain't worth coming, it ain't worth it. He ain't coming right now, surely. That's when he's coming. Or that's when you're going. When you get to that point, you think, I ain't worried about it. Nobody ever pulls up to our house when it's garnished and clean and nice. Before we had Ryder, Brother Harold, there was no, I mean, son, let me tell y'all, this place is clean. She says it's filthy. I go in there, I don't see a mess nowhere. I'm looking everywhere. I mean, I think it looks pretty good, Brother Braden. Can I get a witness? This is the biggest mess I've ever seen. I'm thinking, what is there to clean? But when it is a mess, I'm talking about everything is turned upside down. You ever had that? Somebody want to pull up and talk every time. And want to talk on the porch. Listen to me. They don't want to talk in the porch. They want to come in. Can I say to you, Jesus is not going to talk to you on your porch. If all you want Him is a porch God, all you want Him is a driveway God, all you want Him is a post office God, all you want Him is a blessing God and all this kind of God, listen to me, He's not going to talk to you that way. He's going to come in. He's coming right into that heart. He's coming right into that place. That King's coming. He's coming right in, and He's making sure that you're ready, that when He comes, you'll be ready. This morning, I want to ask you one question. The King's coming. Matt Lobhan has screamed, tornadoes is coming, and everybody's took cover. If he screams it this week, you're going to take cover because everybody in here is going to take cover. I spent $5,500 because of him for a storm cellar. But I'm heeding the warning. This morning, here's my question to you. The King's coming. Are you ready? If you are, man, I'd get to rejoicing. I wouldn't let nobody hold me down in this place. My hands would be up. I'd be a shouting and screaming, stomping around. I'd remember, man, He's coming. It may not be today, but He's coming. And if He don't come today or He don't come in the next 20 years, I may be going, so I'm going to be ready anyway. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to remember. And everywhere I go, I'm going to bear record that Jesus Christ is my King. And He's coming. This morning, are you ready for the King's coming? Father, I love You and I thank You. I thank You that You allowed me to deliver what You put on my heart. Lord, I thank You that it's Palm Sunday. I thank You that when He rode in on that Sunday, they all was doing what we're doing right now. Nothing different than what we're doing. Shouting Hosanna. Waving palm branches. Giving and receiving and doing all kind of things. But Father, He didn't stop on that coat. He went all the way to Calvary. Now we may have life and we may have it more abundantly. Lord, I don't want to confuse nobody in this place. If they're saved, they're saved. But Father, I know even a saved person can get to a place in their life where they ain't ready. They ain't ready to come to church. They ain't ready to pray. I ain't ready to sing. I ain't ready to witness. I ain't ready. I ain't ready. I ain't ready. But I know this, You're my King and You're coming. Let me say on my own heart to You this morning, remove any sin in my life. Lord, I want to be ready. I do not want, as the pastor of this church, for You to come and find me doing something that I'm not supposed to be doing. And Lord, as a pastor of this church, I don't want nobody that I have any authority over this morning as far as being the under-shepherd to be able to stand before You and say, Brother BJ sugarcoated it. He gave his opinion. He didn't give the Bible. I don't want that. When they stand before You, I don't want their blood on my hands. I pray they're ready this morning in Jesus' most holy, precious name. And all of God's people said. I ask you to stand this morning.